Thank you for that. All right, I will not be long tonight. We're a little bit later getting started than normal. I do want to encourage a couple things. I know that one thing that'll be a blessing about the new building is we will not have the patio anymore. And so I do encourage you that are sitting on the patio, let's please pay attention. I know it's not as easy because what should be easy, you see me a lot better than you see me in here, so that should make it fun. But let's not get distracted, okay? When you get distracted out there, you're encouraging, you're causing a problem for other people that want to listen, and also teenagers, if you're sitting out there without your parents, let's behave ourselves and do well and listen up, and I know that you can do that. And then I also encourage you, we're going to look at our, whenever we preach, we look at our Bibles, and if you're newer, I encourage you to have a Bible with you. I'm a little old school, I like bringing a Bible to church. Okay, I know that sometimes some churches, they put the Bible up on the screen. Not against it at all, but I just like bringing a Bible to church. And I'm not a technophobe. I'm not afraid of technology. I don't even read my Bible, to be honest with you. I haven't read it in years. It's just a little boring. No, I read my Bible on my iPad, and I like that, and I take my notes. Everything's on my iPad. But I just like having a Bible in the service and reading it together. And if you don't have one, see your Sunday school teacher. Unless you're in my class, and your Sunday school teacher will buy you one, okay? If you're in my class, you see Brother Ron, and he'll buy you a Bible, and he'll get you the most expensive one we have, too, all right? Going to look tonight at a subject I think will encourage you. You know, the Bible, when you look at and you learn things in the Bible, it's good to look at the context. It's good to see the story, even familiar scriptures we know, in the context of what was just happening or what was just said, and it sometimes lends a little more depth to it. Starting something well is very, very important. Starting to live for God. I remember when I started living for God. I remember when I made that decision. But finishing is much more important. I find over the years that it's easier for people to start something than it is to actually finish it. We've had people, you know, I know people they'll work on a church or they'll be in a church and they have all kinds of ideas and they want to start ministries and then they don't want to do them anymore. It's easy to start something. But the biggest thing is we need to finish. I read about a man named Harry Hartman. He holds the record for the shortest Major League Baseball career. He was a pitcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1918 and he was finally, after his whole life of trying to make it to the major leagues, he was a pitcher and he was called up. They put him in a game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is the moment he had dreamed of. His first pitch, the guy hit a single. The next batter tripled. He got a little rattled and he walked the next man. The next batter singled. The next batter after him tripled again. And then he gave up another walk. He got frustrated. He threw one more pitch. That guy hit it for a single. He didn't even have the manager call him out of the game. He walked out of the game, he went to the shower, he left the baseball stadium, and he enlisted in the Navy. And that was the end of his baseball career. Okay? I find too often that's how people are with things. We strive for something, and as soon as it doesn't go our way, we bail out. I like this story better. In 1968, in the Olympics in Mexico City, there was a Tanzanian runner running in the marathon. His name is Akwari. During the race, after a good portion of the race, he cramped up due to the high altitude. The cramping caused him to fall, and he hit his elbow and dislocated a bone. He fell and hurt his shoulder. He hurt his knee pretty badly. But he got up and said, "I'm going to finish." The winning time that day was 2 hours and 20 minutes. He finally got into the stadium and finished at about 3.5 hours, a little over an hour and 10 minutes later. In fact, it was so late, there was only a few people left in the stands, and they were finishing up the award ceremony for the winners. And the reporters saw what was happening, and they all went over to see him as he was finishing the line a little over an hour after the winner. They asked him, because he was dead last, why did you continue? Why did you finish the race when you knew you had no chance and you were injured? And he said this, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." I like people that finish. I like people that are faithful to the very, the, some people's the bitter end, to the very end. Here in our verses that we read, Jesus asked his disciples, he just fed several thousand people, and then he's praying and his disciples come, and he asked them a question. Who do people say that I am? They answered, some think that you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Now that would be kind of hard because John and Jesus lived at the same time. Some say you're Elijah. In other portions of scripture, some thought that he was Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up, as he was never afraid to step right up, and he said, you're the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus says, you're right. And then he informs them that as the Messiah, what is he going to do? He is going to be beaten. He is going to be killed for the sins of the world. After that, Jesus then tells them what he expects from them, what they should do as they live on this earth as a disciple. You see, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, who do you guys, what's everybody saying about me? And they tell who they say, and Jesus goes, okay, who knows who I really am? And Peter, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the one that has come, you're the one that's going to die for our sins. And Jesus said, that's right, here's what's going to happen to me. And then he says, now, here's what you need to do. It's like he's saying, I am going to finish my race. I am going to finish my course. I came here to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to die for the sins of the world. And now I want you to be a follower of me. And here's what is involved with being a follower of me. And if I can finish my race and go to the cross, are you going to be able to fulfill the requirements I have for you if you're going to be a true disciple? Are you going to finish? Our theme in this, I'm not talking about our giving anymore because you gave. You can still give more if you'd like to. We will never get mad. Our theme is finish strong. But you know, finish strong is more than just a giving campaign. Finish strong ought to be the desire of every single Christian in this room. It ought to be your desire that when you get to the end of your life, that you can look back and say, I finished strong. Jesus was a finisher. John chapter 17 and verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on this earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he gave up, he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The Bible is full of examples of those who finished strong and some of those who did not finish strong. Paul started late in the race, but Paul finished strong. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me, neither I count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Peter faltered along the path, but can I tell you something? We get on Peter a lot, but can I tell you something? Peter finished. Peter was, and he knew he was going to end a martyr's death, and he was crucified upside down because history tells us he felt unworthy to be crucified the same way as his master. But Peter finished strong. I think of Solomon, our Sunday morning series, which we'll get back to on Ecclesiastes. Solomon started strong, but he did not finish very well. And then we think of the prototypical one that did not finish was Demas. He got distracted. Paul had to say in 2 Timothy, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So what's the question tonight in the few minutes that we have? The question is this. Jesus finished what God gave him to do. Now I'm going to ask you tonight, are you going to finish strong? By the way, sometimes we try to soap Christianity and make it sound like it's a country club, but it's not. It is the greatest thing you could ever do, by the way. But to think that there's no hardships, to think that there is no requirements, that Jesus does not expect us to live on a higher level than those that do not know him, if we believe that, we are delusional. And we might want to read our Bibles. So there are five things you must understand from the last few verses that we know very well if we are going to finish strong. And I will not be long on each of them. The first thing we need to understand that there is a challenge to accept. Look at verse 23. After telling what he's going to do, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me. He just revealed what was going to happen to him. And by the way, and he alluded to it in other places in Scripture, but if they crucified the master, what do you think they're going to do to the followers? If Jesus was not persecuted, but in a sense persecuted and put to death, don't you think that they're going to be after those who follow him? And he said, if you're going to come after me, what's he saying? You need to accept the challenge. You need to come into this thing with your eyes wide open and know what you're facing and be willing to accept the challenge. Far too many of us have this idea that if you come to Jesus Christ, everything's going to be easy. No, everything will be better and you can have joy, but it doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to be easy. And I don't mean to get on us, but we do kind of live in a snowflake society, okay? We feel triggered if someone says something we disagree with. You know what we used to call that? Life. Man, you come into church and you say the truth and someone's not been at church and they look at you like you just assaulted them with a rifle. It's just truth. And you have a chance, you have a choice to accept it or not accept it. But we got to the point where we don't want to hear it. No, we need to strengthen ourselves. We need to grow up and just say, listen, Jesus lays the challenge out. I'll take it. Because if we come to Christianity in view without understanding that there are difficulties, then at the first sign of trouble, we'll bail out. That's what we do. And I'm not getting on the millennial generation because, to be honest with you, when we get on the millennial generation, we're getting on the ones who raised them. And we're getting on the public schools and the public universities that we allowed to train them. Okay? It's just, we're soft. Christianity ought to toughen you up a little bit. Standing for the truth ought to be, listen, we're not trying to be vindictive, but it's like sometimes there's going to be problems. A challenge means that something could be difficult. And by the way, just because something is difficult doesn't mean it's not rewarding. I read a story about Walt Disney. Well, if you know anything about Walt Disney, back before Disney became apostate and pagan, they weren't Christian, but they're just pagan now. He had all these ideas. He was the first to make a full-length cartoon movie. People thought he was crazy. He put every penny he had on the line. But he always had all these crazy ideas. He had a philosophy. They said when he would come in with the main stockholders or the main guys that ran the company and that little small group, and he would come in and he would share some ridiculous idea that had never been done that was out there. And he would ask for their opinion. And inevitably, because they're all thinking bottom line, they would all, most of them would be against, like, and then they'd vote. Here was his thought. If he had some crazy idea and one or two people was for it, even if the majority was against it, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it unless everybody was against it. Then he realized, that's the challenge I want to take. We're going to get this thing done. That kind of thinking to us is foreign today. We can't live for God if our coworker looks at us cross-eyed. It's a challenge to accept. We have to make up our minds and accept the challenge that I am going to be a Christian. I don't care. And I'm not saying, I'm not one of these that like, let's go out and make everybody be mad at us. No. But you know what? That's what the truth does sometimes. But we have to take the challenge. Secondly, there are choices we have to acknowledge. Continue on in verse 23. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, once the challenge is accepted, then we're acknowledging that there is, now let's get this, that there are some choices we have to make. Because far too many of us say, I'll take the challenge, I'll serve Jesus, but we're not willing to go past lip service and do what it needs to be done to put it into action. Okay? Taking a challenge means there's something you got to do. There's some choices. You got to acknowledge, here's some things I'm going to have to do. Here's some changes I'm going to have to make. We don't like that. That's why many don't finish their Christian life. They would rather just blend in with the crowd. They would rather just, you know, do what everybody else is doing. What are some of the, he talks about deny. Let him deny himself. When we choose to do something right, that means I have to choose to deny anything that would keep me from finishing. You're not going to finish if you're going to allow things that Scripture forbids into your life that are going to cause you to not finish. And by the way, it's very attractive because the flesh is for it. It is. And it's a fight we all have to fight. That's why we have to deny ourselves. You say, I thought Satan was our enemy. He's our enemy. I thought the world pushes philosophies and that's our enemy. That's, yeah, those philosophies, those anti-God thoughts, yes, that's it. But what's the third one? The flesh. That's the toughest one. Okay. We can have victory over Satan. We can be careful about what's going on in this world, but boy, our flesh is with us 24/7. Got to deny ourselves. Difficulty. Take up thy cross. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, that's not some, there used to be a guy when I was a new Christian. I think he was a little bit nuts, but his name was Arthur Blessed. And he would walk around the country with a cross, trying to reach the world, just walking across the country. People, what is that all about? Now, he had a wheel on the end of it. How many remember that? He kind of put the cross on there, and there was a wheel. So he was just pulling it. He was not bearing his cross, okay? He was rolling that thing. Listen, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, are you willing to take the difficulty that comes with this? Most of us don't like difficulties. Jesus was looking for men. See, think what he's talking to. He's talking to his disciples, and he was talking to these men that once he left and he was killed, these guys were going to get the church off the ground, and these guys were going to start the missions endeavors, and they were going to get Christianity off the ground. They were the ones that were going to just spread it. And by the way, let me say this, they did. They were the ones who turned the world upside down. Why? Because they're willing to accept difficulty. Let's not be so, you know, well, someone in the church said something that irritated me. Can I just tell you something? People say stuff that irritates me all the time. So, well, Pastor Miles, you say things that irritate me. I have two speakers. I say things that irritate me. And I have to live with me all the time. Pray for me. But we, some, the smallest little thing, and we blow it up. We don't talk to anybody, and we bolt out the door. We mess our lives up. Difficulty. We don't face 1% of the problems that the New Testament church in Jerusalem faced or that the disciples faced. Think about that. You see all the person. It was so bad. You read some of the epistles. They thought they were going through the tribulation. Paul had to straighten them out. Like, listen, this is bad, but you're not going through the tribulation right now. We don't face that. Now, I'm not belittling some of the difficulties we do face. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? Come on. He talks about take up his cross how often? Daily. Daily. It's a constant battle. By the way, it's the battle we all fight. God wants us to be faithful in everything we do, and we fight it. Got to be faithful to our Bibles. Got to be faithful to spending time with God. Got to be faithful to church, faithful to soul winning, faithful to living for God in a world which pushes us to go another direction. Too many of us are roller coaster. One day we want to win the world to Christ. The other day the FBI couldn't find you. Jesus barely knows where you're at. Okay? You know, and I'm joking here. But it is true. Let's just stay on the path. Take up your cross daily, and he says, and follow me. That's direction. Let me say this. You say, man, I don't want my life to get messed up. I want to make sure that 1 year from now and 2 years from now and 3 years from now and 4 years now, 10 years from now, that I'm still where I'm supposed to be. Is this simple? Follow him. He's never going to take you the wrong place. See, If we follow Jesus, can I just tell you something? You'll be where you're supposed to be 5 years from now. You'll be doing what you're supposed to be right now. You can always tell when somebody is on the path to quitting. You know why? They're not following him anymore. They're going their own direction. And it's obvious. They start to slip. Now, you can think about this internally right now to yourself. There are things sometimes that in our life that maybe we as we grew as a Christian, we knew these things that we added to our life. There's things we subtracted. By the way, the Bible calls that growth. And what happens is those things we added, we start to subtract them. Or the things that we subtracted, we start to add them back in. Or maybe you grew up in the Christian school and you grew up in a Christian home and you know, I was sheltered and I want to experience that stuff. Then you're letting stuff seep in that's not supposed to be there. You're slipping. Okay? Why don't we just say, Jesus, what's your direction for me? And why can we not just follow him? Be very careful. Third, there's a contradiction to admit. A contradiction to admit. Look at verse number 24. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, I'm trying to hold on to my life. I'm trying to keep it together. Then he said, for me, then you're going to lose it. The best thing is just to say, if you don't want to lose your life, give it to him. Just say, it's yours. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know if we sang it. My life, I can't sing, so I'll say it. me. I could rap. By the way, I wish they would have had rap music when I was, I could have been a rapper. You don't even have to sing, you just got to rhyme. Okay? But my life is yours to control. Come on, be honest with you. How many of us have, and I can raise my hand, how many of us have sang that before, and if we're honest about it, it's like, well, right now it's kind of mine, right? We all fall into that trap. But should we? We ought to just say, look, my life is yours. Here's the thing. To find the life that you really want, to find the fulfillment in your life that you really want, you know how you find that? You don't find it by looking at it for yourself. You find it by following him and giving your life to him. And I'll just be honest with you, far too many of you are afraid of that. Far too many of your parents are afraid of that with your children. Okay? You've already got everything lined up for them, and you're choosing where they're going to, and all this stuff, and you're going to push them out here to this career, realizing most people that get a degree for a career, 70% of them aren't even in that field. Okay? You know, I want my son to be a brain surgeon. It'd be nice if he can get through school. Okay? We can't impose what we want for our children. And by the way, parents, I just know, all you want is what's best for your children. I get it. You ought to want what's best. If you don't want what's best for your children, you got parenting issues. But sometimes we go about it the wrong way. We ought to go about it like, you want what's best for your children, give them to Jesus Christ. Encourage them to follow God with all of their heart. Don't push them the wrong way. Getting what I really want out of life comes only when I give my life to him. You know, we feel we have to have a backup plan for our child. Well, if that doesn't work out, I want them to have this career. You know, God can handle things. And I have to say this, and please don't take it wrong, but if we send our kids, and I've said this before, to Caesar's institutions, they're going to act like Romans. I saw all these, I was going to say fifth graders up here saying, no, it's five-year-olds. Can I tell you what those five-year-olds are learning in public school? All those little children that were sitting up here singing, they're being told, 4 and 5 years old, they're being told, little boy, you might just be a girl. Hey, little girl, you might just be a boy. They're already being taught about homosexuality. See, you're not paying attention. No, but you don't understand. I'm sending my kid to a charter school. That charter school, and I'm going to look back here because I don't want you to look at me. That charter school is just a nicer place to learn Caesar's principles. We got to be careful. Yeah, but now they're older and they're in college. It's worse in college. The kids in our college campuses can't even think. This guy's a bigot. That guy's this. It's a woman's choice. Explain that to me. I love those internet videos. They go to colleges and they'll ask them questions. I'm for this. I'm against that. And it's like, explain it to me. They had a women's right convention about a year and a half ago. They were still upset about the, I'm not being political here, I'm being moral. So, but they were upset that we had a new president. And they had all these ladies, and they were wearing profane shirts and profane hats. I could not tell you in a public setting. It was disgusting. It was huge. And the lady's like, oh, it's because Trump's a sexist. They're all saying Republican, all this, whatever. And all the guy asked her, the lady who organized the event, they asked her, well, give me a couple examples. Here's what she said. I'm not going, and I'm not getting on anybody, and you don't have to shake my hand after church. I'm not sending my kids to an institution or a school where that stuff's pushed. Do you know what the hot button issue is now? Killing babies. I am sick to my stomach. You know what? Now, when it comes, I like football. If I have to root for a college team, it'd be USC. I hate Alabama. I just don't like them. You know, Roll Tide, roll away. I am now an Alabama fan. This is an unsafe secular college. Believe it or not, now they're going to take a lot of flack. Their leader went against the college and said someone gave them $21.1 million to name a building after him. And then the same guy said, no one should go to Alabama because their abortion laws. He goes, send them the money back. Now, he's going to take a lot of flack in his college. I'm telling you that. Because you know why? Because the students on his college, when you ask them, well, what about it? They say, that's not a baby. What is it? And they're going to hear that stuff. You try to talk to them about it, and they just throw out the buzzwords. Woman's reproductive rights. I believe in woman's reproductive rights. You have a right to reproduce. Once you're pregnant, you've reproduced. And I believe in a woman's reproductive health. Once you have reproduced, I think you should take care of that baby inside of you and make sure that baby is healthy. Why can you kill it after it's born? Okay? What's wrong with our country is our colleges are garbage, and they're pushing that nonsense, and that generation has now grown up, and they're in charge. Wouldn't send my kid there. Okay? I'd be very careful. Very, very careful. That influence, you cannot, I don't want to, and I could just go on and on and on and on and on. You know what the big thing is now? I'm really upset, so let me just share a few thoughts. Now, transgender men are now running as women in our college athletics. Without having changed. All they changed was their clothes. They put an earring on and grew long hair and talked like a woman, and now they can run in athletics and dominate. Is somebody not ridiculously out of touch with reality? Listen, we said this years ago. When the fight was for homosexual marriage, what did we say? That's just the first step. And I'll say one more thing, and I'll get back to our regularly scheduled message. You just need to know this. Every now and then, I just need to remind you where we sit, because far too many of you are listening to the world. Far too many are in some of those schools where you're hearing this stuff. You know, the whole thing is love knows no boundaries. I forget what the company was. If someone can help me remember where the company was. One of the companies it's Gay Pride Month. By the way, we're not celebrating that here. And love knows no boundaries, no gender. And at the bottom, they slipped this one in, no age. Can I just tell you something? Mark it down. That's the next thing they're going after. I'm just telling you. All that stuff is being educated into our society, and we're sending our kids off to learn that stuff. God help us. All right. Back to our regularly scheduled message. You say, why does that bother you so much? Because I'm glad for these little kids up here. Thank God for that. Now, I remember when I was 5 years old, I'd watch Romper Room on television. The lady looking through her tennis racket with no strings on it, looking out into TV land. I see Steve, and I see, she'd say everybody's name. I see Tom, and I'm like, how in the world could she see through her television? And I'm like, please say that you see me. And she never said Steve once. Like, racist. But you know what she did? They always had snack time on the show, and she prayed on public television. Man, they would have a cardio fit. Their heart would be so high that they wouldn't have to run for the next month. Okay, I don't know where we're at. Should we just pray and eat cake? Number four. We have a consideration to avoid. Look at verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Other verses tell us if you lose your soul. Huh? Isn't it funny that we want everything this world has to offer? And if we're not careful, we may get that, but we lose our spirituality. Now, this is a worst case scenario here. Some people want so much of what this world has, and they're so tied into it that they won't even trust Christ because it might mess up their plans. Okay? The rich young ruler. I'm doing everything. Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Now, is that a prerequisite for salvation? No. That was his God. And when Jesus said that, it said he walked away sorrowful because he had a lot of possessions. That was something he was not willing to give up. He didn't have to give it up for salvation, but that was his God. And he wasn't really ready to trust in Christ. Too many of us want what this world has to offer at the expense of what eternity has to offer. Let's not sacrifice our spirituality or spiritual commitment to get something we want. And by the way, be successful. God, whatever God puts you in, if God wants you to be a pastor, be successful. If God wants you to be a missionary, be successful. If God wants you to start a business, be successful. If God wants you to be a millionaire, be successful quickly. Okay? Whatever God has for you, be successful at it, but never, ever be successful at it at the sacrifice of your spirituality. By the way, if you got a job and God's allowed you to make money, more power to you. Not if they tell you to come and work on Sundays. Not if it's pulling you away from your family. I can make all this money, but I'm working 90 hours a week. Listen, you have a family. You understand what I'm saying here? I don't have time for God anymore, but I'm going to buy you a new church. Hey, we'll buy our own church. Stay with Jesus. Let's not sacrifice. Well, we want something so bad that we're willing to sacrifice our beliefs. Lastly, there's a connection that we need to account. Look at verse 26. Jesus said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and his Father's and of his holy angels. That's pretty. Let me just say this. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about it's an accounting. We're accountable for everything in our life. Now, none of us, when it comes to, you know, we're going to stand before God and give an account. None of us are like, I'm ready. Listen, we all want to be ready. We're all doing the best we can, but that's a holy God. But you know what we can do? Let's just live for God today, the best of our ability. Understand that one day our life will be accountable to him. It's not what our friends say. It's not what some family member says. It's not what this person says. Listen, it's just you and your God. And we're accountable for all that we do. You know, those of you that gave this morning and you sacrificed, thank you for that. You know what you did? That's a good accounting in heaven. It's like, you know what, Lord, this I could have used for myself, but you know what? We needed to do that, and I'm going to give this to the bill. Thank you for that. Thank you. When we stand before God, those of you that give your time, bus drivers, I don't know if there's a special crown in heaven for bus drivers, but you ought to get your own coffee shop in heaven, okay? You know, thank you for doing it. Sunday school teach. By the way, those of you that work in the nursery, you're getting special rewards. You know, you're not going to have to change a diaper in heaven. Thank the Lord for that. But we're accountable. One day, we're accountable for how we live for God and what we live for. So I don't say that to shame us, and I'm not saying that to scare us. I'm saying that to encourage us. Man, I want to stand before Jesus, and I know I've not been perfect. Trust me. But I think there's some things we've tried to do, and I think there's things you try to do. You'll be thankful that, you know what? I wasn't the best Sunday school teacher in the world, but I taught my Sunday school class outside for 16 hours, and I took 15 minutes to give a five-minute testimony. Just kidding. Brother Ron, you're never going to live that down. I'm sorry. By the way, it was good. But you should have asked me if it was okay the first night again. You know. By the way, we have other Sunday school teachers that have probably been teaching about that long. Thank God for that. Some of you have been working in the nursery even before you had kids. Thank God for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. And let's just, it's encouraging to know that when the nonsense of life is floating around and all the drama and all the thing, that we know that in spite of what's going on, God knows exactly what we're doing. God's keeping an accounting. And God appreciates when we stand for Him. What was Jesus saying? You know, I'm going to finish. I'm finishing. You nailed who I was, and here's what I'm going to do, and here's what you need to do so you can finish your course too. Hey, we finished strong in our giving this morning. Why don't we finish strong in our life? Why don't we be committed? Quit listening to our friend, all the things, and let's say, you know what, Lord? I want to be like Paul. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's all stand together this evening.